You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, we have a cast and crew of the new place, Maharlika, that started out as a pop-up restaurant and bar earlier this summer, late spring. And now we're going to get to see them with their actual feet on the ground in a place where hopefully they will be for a long time. Welcome to the show, Enzo Lim, beverage director, Miguel Trinidad, hello, the executive chef, Nicole Ponseca,
yearbook editor.
Yearbook editor and CEO. And Noah Cruz, the Strategic Alliances Officer. Yes,
we got drinks.
Important, doesn't it?
That was a mouthful. So, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you guys on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while.
Salamat. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, let's just jump into it. I mean, you started off as a... You've all worked in this industry for quite some time now, or been involved with it in one way or another, obviously. I first met Enzo, I want to say, like 3 years ago, just through the bartending, like kind of cocktail scene. I believe you were
heading the AA meeting.
You were heading to an AA. You were both heading to an AA. Yeah. It was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You were working at Minetta Tavern at the time, or it might have been
still there,
before
actually.
That. Yeah. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
And you're doing this? You're crazy.
I am.
Yes.
So, after a while of knowing you, you've always been a very ambitious person, and now it shows. I mean, obviously.
Oh, we'll go with that one.
Just let them think that.
I like how your business partners are so supportive of you. Now you so okay.
Love you.
So this all turns into in the spring, an idea of opening up this pop-up restaurant, if you want to call it that, if that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it actually started in around November, December of 2010. We didn't have enough money to open a full-blown restaurant, and I asked my boss if I could use his space in the East Village. He said, yeah. So January 2nd, we opened the doors to 4 people, and then it hit the ground running for
me. Wow, I didn't realize it was that. I didn't realize it was last winter. Jesus. Time's flying. I turned 30 this year, so I'm just like, ooh, I'm getting old and I can't remember anything. Well, okay, so so you open up in the space.
Yeah, and like I said, January 2nd, and the first 2 days were pretty dismal. That I was talking to my staff and saying, it's going to be awesome.
It's going
to be so awesome. And guaranteeing them like awesomely dead. It was, guaranteeing them like a shift pay, like some gratuity out of our pocket so that they would still feel like encouraged to work with us. And then by the third weekend, I think it was New York Magazine or Grub Street that featured us. And then it went gangbusters from there. And
right.
Bloggers are insane.
Yeah,
all the people that really supported, everyone who came really reviewed it and gave like glowing remarks. And we weren't expecting all of that. I really was expecting like a couple of months still before it to take off.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, all around, that sounds like a really nice way to start out. And speaking of starting out, it's like, what was your, obviously your focus is to have a restaurant and bar at the same time, you know, doing cocktails, and it's mostly Philippine, like, with Enzo's writing on his hand.
Enzo says, okay, I won't say it out loud.
No.
What? Okay. Anyway, what was the question?
I don't even remember now.
Yeah. Well, okay, so
she's one and she's a focus one.
So restaurant and bar, yes. And it is, okay, let me get this out right away that it wasn't about fusion. Mm-hmm. Filipino food itself is fusion by nature because we were colonized by Spain. We have American mm-hmm. influences with like spam and tang. Spam. And
spam.
And Chinese influence, Malaysian, and certainly indigenous influences. So it's already fusion. But the restaurants that were out there were making it like Filipino Thai, Filipino Korean, and it's all yummy food. And I love all the restaurants out there, but I really wanted to, with the team, make it authentic Filipino food, and the flavors are 100% authentic. It's just presented or plated differently and elevated a little bit because Filipino food is really like one pot stews meant to cook down while you go clean the house, you make money for the family, and then what happens is the meats get degraded, the vegetables lose their integrity, but it's really good. But and it's something we all love, but at the end of the day, the vegetables were like so wilted and ugly, and they lacked like any presentation. So I really want to put out there that it's not about fusion. It's not taking away from what Philippine flavors are. It really is just honoring it and giving it a nicer pair of shoes and a nice dress to wear. So
yeah, we're really keeping true to the tradition and the flavors, and I guess in a sense modernizing it.
Right.
By going back
taking
to what it
church.
Originally, yeah, it's originally what it was, using raw ingredients and a lot of places you find it's especially in the commercial restaurant establishments that do Filipino food use, and this is the way it is, I guess, out of convenience, but don't take the time to I guess properly cook, if you will, from the raw ingredient state, which is, it's out of convenience. Maybe it's frozen, maybe it's from a package,
maybe it's food cost,
but it's more of a processed thing. And what we're trying to do is using a, you know, where we came from a culinary experience and our experience in the business, approach it in a much more grassroots way by taking the best ingredients we can find, you know, that we are in control of, and turning it into a traditional flavor profile that something we grew up with. So we're not trying to go too far past
pizza.
We're also trying to feature the food in the way that it looks appealing. That it's not just sort of something that you.
Well, yeah, eat. It's great dining. Presentation. You know, right. Obviously,
it's not just.
You want the whole experience.
Yeah, diners eat with their eyes first. You know,
absolutely.
And we definitely wanted to give respect to the cuisine and make it the best that we possibly could by giving each item its individual attention and then bringing it all together.
Now, with that being said, what are some of the, for our listeners, like what are some of the kind of like very traditional food products and like vegetables and say like obviously different kinds of rices and things like that? You're not doing like the fish balls that you buy off like the food cart kind of thing, you know? It's like
no, nothing. Well, you know, most of our, I would say 90% of our menu is made in house.
Right.
You know, we're curing our own beef to make tapa, which is basically a Filipino beef jerky. We're making our own pan de sal. And, you know, we're putting American twists on it. You know, we took Eggs Benedict and switched it up and put all Filipino ingredients in there. Pan de sal, spam, poached eggs, a calamansi hollandaise, which...
Laing instead of cream spinach for our take on Eggs Florentine, which is Eggs Imelda, plug, plug, plug. So it's an American twist in that it's just elevated, but it is really 100% Filipino.
Great. Now, how does this work in with like the bar and the cocktails? Because like I always say, or like always hear that there are, you know, many different. There's obviously a lot of different. There's numerous cuisines styles out there, you know, that don't necessarily work well with cocktails, but you obviously are doing. You have a cocktail program at this place. You know, that obviously there's like Mexican food works really well with, you know, micheladas and margaritas and things like that and palomas. Then you've got like Polynesian food with tiki drinks. You know, it just works really well. If I have like a zombie in a poo-poo platter, I'm the happiest guy on earth.
Which is actually interesting because Enzo will tell you that the origination of tiki bars is actually
Filipino.
Am I going to tell you, or are you going to tell me?
Put him on the spot.
Well, no. I mean, I guess part of it is honoring the ingredients that are native to the Philippines, such as calamansi, which is a fruit that's akin to
it's
a
like
lime in shape. Yeah, it's in the orange family actually, but it looks more like a lime. It's green. Yeah. Its yield is very little, and you know, it's sort of sour, sort of sweet. Things like that. Things like guava. Mango is very prevalent. Dalandan. There's not really a great cocktail tradition per se that in the Philippines.
Yeah,
but right. I was happy to know that when I went back this year that some people are actually doing stuff. They're making cocktails, albeit, you know, to such a great degree. Like this guy had like a 20 cocktail menu in his, you know, really humble restaurant. So it was cool to see that also. And what Nicole was referring to was... what I found was that Don the Beachcomber's original bartenders were all Filipino. So to me, it made perfect sense to pair that sort of style of drinking with this style of food as well.
Absolutely.
And that would have been what they would have served had they had their way in the kitchen with the food. So that's something I'm slowly introducing, you know, more tiki-style drinks. But, you know, what I have now is a focus on... You know, things that I grew up with, like ginger or salabat, this just a very medicinal sort of thing that that's comforting to people growing up. And strawberries, you know, from a sense memory from growing up and going to Baguio, which is in the north, and these nuns would pick these strawberries and sell them as jam and preserves. So that's for the Baguio breeze.
Cool.
Simple but fresh. You know, that's sort of my approach, and you know, going into tiki later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
That's one thing I have to say I really like about Enzo's drinks is that they're really well balanced, because sometimes I go places and it's so syrupy or so sour. Like I find it's really interesting. Enzo's drinks are really at times complex, but really clean. Like you taste a well balance of acidity and sweetness and the fresh fruit that I'm really proud of him.
And it doesn't hurt that, you know, Filipino food just goes great with booze.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. Actually, our tradition too is if you come to the restaurant and you happen to have a balut, which is the fertilized duck egg, depending on the guest, we'll give them a warm shot of gin, which is kind of a tradition, warm gin in the Philippines.
Right. That, like, there's a lot of like warm gin. There's rice distillates, and then there's a lot of rums as well, right? I mean,
yes.
So I guess it just makes sense that... But, you know, going back to the whole like tiki thing just for a quick minute, it's kind of... It's interesting because I don't really... Like, I've seen your menu. I haven't been by the new place yet. But and I know that, you know, especially with places like Lanai Kai, you know, you could say it's a tiki bar, but Julie doesn't want to say, yeah, you could say Painkiller is a tiki bar, you know, you could, but they're not like these traditional tiki bars. Like Julie's place is she calls it a Hawaiian restaurant, you know, that obviously the drinks, they are tiki drinks, but she doesn't want to call them that. Painkiller, they're tiki drinks, but they're like punk rock tiki drinks, you know? It's like old like Lower East Side New York City punk rock tiki.
Absolutely. I mean, you know I worked there, so
right.
That was sort of
the man with like 17 jobs.
The staging ground for that idea. I just felt that, you know, this just makes perfect sense. I mean, we were trying to do food there as well at a certain point, just cuz we were like, you know, all those bartenders are Filipino, let's serve Filipino food here. Yeah, I think the beauty of tiki is that, you know, it's, you know, it really doesn't take itself too seriously. So, you know, what they're doing at Painkiller, what they're doing at Lanai Kai, whether or not you want to call it tiki, it's just, you know, riffs on a theme, and you can get outlandish and outrageous and, you know, really have fun and have blue drinks and, you know,
I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing back the blue curacao, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the fun in drinking.
Well, I want to preface it by... I don't really know the history of tiki. I can't say that I'm an expert at all, but I would like to say that it's not those kind of style of drinks from what I understand, but what he is producing is these drinks, and it's a style of service which I think tiki had, which was really friendly, really informative, and like laid back, man, like, you know, yeah, like drink
time. It's
supposed to
be, a good time.
Right.
You know, I don't want to like sit around and like, you know, worry about what kind of bitters blends going into my Manhattan and what kind of vermouth, you know. I want I wanted Mai Tai or something. So, okay, when we get back, we're going to take a short little break here. But when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about... I love getting to talk about food because it's, you know, this is a drink show, but we rarely get to talk about food, so this is really exciting to me. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but then I want to talk about some of your future plans and some of these other things. You've got a lot of, you guys have a lot of stuff going on. You guys are crazy.
<That's true.
laughs> So anyway, when we get back with the crew from Mahalika, we'll talk more about it. All right, in a moment.
Yeah.
Service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
And we are back. Open them. Open them.
And so you open it.
We're having technical difficulties with this bag of crackers.
So
we're here with the crew from Mahalika. That's at the new place is at 111 First Avenue, which sounds completely fake.
111 Yeah, I would like to officially rename First Avenue as Pinoy Way.
Oh,
FYI. So 111 Pinoy Way.
Cool. I'll talk to my guy about that. I don't know. I don't know anyone that can help me out with that.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about what your mission statement, the idea as a whole of Mahalika. We've talked about the food, we've talked about the drinks, but really, like, what are you trying to show to New York City, to the world, like, through this?
Well, I think
okay.
What you're munching on is kind of a segue into that. He's eating Nagaraya nuts, which is like our Cheetos, really. They're nuts covered in whole wheat dough and garlic.
It's garlic.
It's super good. And I think that's kind of part of the mission statement that we want to put out there, that we're about the chips, the Nagaraya nuts. We're about the beef tapa. For those about you, the tocino, like... We're about the nuts, yes, Enzo. everything that comprises being Filipino, I don't want to turn our back to any of it. So if it is some of the processed stuff, then it's cool and it's fun and the spam we embrace. But if he dials up the volume, meaning chef, if he dials up the volume on the presentation or the preparation of the food, that's what we're about too. So it really is visceral experience for us. It was certainly about creating a business and something commercial that would make us some money along the way, but it was also about aiming for critical success. And by that I meant really getting Pinoys in there and making them proud. When we were doing the business plan and all that crap that you have to do when you are starting a business, like, who are we talking to? And it was really Filipinos. And if we didn't make Filipinos or Filipino Americans proud, that would be the failure. And then after that, it was to cross over to non-Filipinos to show them food that they never had before or may have never have experienced in this way. So that's what we're about. It was make some money, make Pinoy's proud.
Keep it real.
Keep it real.
Keep it real and show the world.
Yeah, and
be nuts.
Yeah, it's naturally become bigger than that, and that's what's amazing to me and to us is that we started it. We want to do great food. We want to do great drinks. We want to do great service because that's where we come from. And in a very short period of time, since December, November of last year, January till now, it's become more of like a collective movement. Let's introduce people to the culture, not just through the food and drink, which is what we're doing now, but just through our presence and our reach and who we know. We just don't know a bunch of Filipinos. We know it's our demographic. We mostly grew up here, so we have a diverse range of friends and people that we want to bring in and show them, how we do it.
It's like, go ahead. One thing I'd like to say is that on our second week operating out of the pop-up, I received a curious letter that was written in kind of an old school scrawl. You know when you see someone's handwriting and you know they're old school, like they were schooled to write in cursive, and to me it's like Catholic writing when you're taught in Catholic schools how to have cursive. And the letter was what I could imagine was maybe from some mom or some Lola, and it was from New Jersey. And she was a two-page letter, and she said how proud she was of us and that we were so brave to do this, which I thought was so interesting. But I'm telling you, it was like the second week we opened, which means she heard about it immediately. She hadn't even come in yet, but was just so proud. And I keep that with me. Like, I think of my Lola Carmen back home, or like our families back home. And it really is about making our families proud too. So.
Absolutely. And you're doing it in a really cool way. I mean, obviously, like, just, I just want to pop back over to this pop-up thing. that sounded completely cheesy. Nice. But it's such a cool, like, modern thing to do. Over the past couple of years, there's so many like pop-up restaurants, not just restaurants, but also bars. Mm-hmm. Stumptown Coffee did a pop-up coffee shop in Amsterdam, which I wish I would have gotten a chance to go visit.
Me too.
Which we didn't know, by the way. I mean, it was happenstance. It wasn't like some grand scheme. I just remember Egg. Really, I remember Egg in Williamsburg out of, I think it was Sparky's hot dog stand on North 5th. And it wasn't some mastermind. It was really like, we don't have any money, but we don't want to wait anymore.
Yeah,
it was born
out of a strong drive and little finance.
Absolutely. So what you guys have done, it's like, it's amazing. Like,
we still don't got any money, but we're opening two other spaces, by the way.
so you made a little capital to get into this space, taking chances already on, like you said, you're taking chances on Filipino food, which not a lot of people know. You're taking chances with yourself because you want to make yourself proud, you want to make your family's proud, you want to make people proud, and that's very commendable. Then after you've proved it to yourself, you take it to the rest of the world, and you're like, hey, check it out. Look how awesome this is. And then now you're like, all right, let's do two more places. Yeah.
Just like the textbook saying, this is exactly how it works out.
this is the standard business plan, guys.
Do you guys ever watch Scooby-Doo? I don't know. It's not so random, but I always feel like I'm Scrappy Dog. Do you remember Scooby-Doo's younger nephew? I still feel like I'm so scrappy, and I'm still just trying to make it happen. So
you figure out a way, no matter what. You figure out a way if you want it bad enough.
Seem to be doing it just well enough to keep opening more places. So now you're going to be at the DeKalb Market.
Yes, that's going to be in 2 weeks. And it is, DeKalb Market is an ecological market. If you guys don't know, it's taking reclaimed shipping containers and fashioning them to be for vendors, whether it's food or clothing. Cool. And we'll have a Sari Sari store and a Show Pow shop.
What is Sari Sari?
Sari Sari is a convenience store. Enzo, you take this one. What's a Sari Sari store?
Why? Sari Sari means fresh, but it's ironic because if you go to Sari Sari store, it's basically everything that you would want from a supermarket, and they're not necessarily fresh. I mean, you may get some vegetables and fruits, but in general, the bulk of the things they sell there are, say, shampoo sachets, for one, because, a lot of people in the rural areas can't afford to buy, say, a big bottle of shampoo, so they just, do it when they really need it. Maybe a few days later, they'll wash their hair again. That sort of thing, like little packs of junk food,
So it's an homage.
Can you get these there?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. Probably a smaller bag.
No. Can you make bigger bags happen for me?
So it's a way to translate what we know culturally and create it here. So Sorry Sorry Store is like a convenience store, chips, fruits, vegetables, which I think is also so important for that particular neighborhood because you can't even get like a fresh carrot within walking distance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really tough to probably raise your family even and create home cooked food if you can't have any fresh produce there.
Yeah.
So that's DeKalb Market, and we're going to have the Chopin shop, which Chef is working on right now. Nice. And we're going to make a little twist on it because we'll be filling it with different Filipino fillings. Traditionally, it's just like chicken and pork, but we'll be doing things like pinakbet and bola bola.
For those who don't know what a Chopin is, it's a Filipino steam bun.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's really good. It's
a Chopin, which is... Chinese.
From our background of Chinese, yeah. So imagine like those steam buns where you put like Peking duck and stuff.
I know know about them.
So completely enclosed. And we thought, what a wonderful way to get people to try different Filipino foods, which it might be too daunting to order a full entree. But heck, I'll spend $4 on something and try it out and then be introduced to a cuisine.
Yeah.
So we've got DeKalb Market. And then we're opening in Williamsburg. dun, dun, dun. We're opening on North 11th and Wythe, which I think is 90 Wythe, a Japanese bike shop, actually called Kinfolk.
Cool.
And actually, Noel can explain a little bit more about Kinfolk and that concept.
Real quick, we're getting involved with what is now Kinfolk Studios here in Williamsburg, which is going to be opening up almost simultaneously with the third location of this Sorry Sorry Store, along with the restaurant. But basically, quick story, Kinfolk is a bicycle brand that they had a bar lounge in Tokyo. This is their first outpost in New York, Brooklyn. And so through the stars aligning, we partnered up, teamed up, and are opening a Sorry Sorry Store and small food shop within that. So it's kind of going along with the whole pop-up theme. But
and brunch.
Oh, yeah, and brunch. Come beginning of September. What else can we take on?
I don't know.
Come on.
Politics. I'm running for Congress, and I'm going to do a karaoke show with Will Ferrell next.
So needless to say, we're busy, but, you know, it's fun, and we definitely can handle it all, and we've got our eyes on a lot more.
I can't believe you made it on the show today. Sounds like you got a lot going on. Well, you know, before we sign off, I would love for you to hook us up with one of these drinks, Enzo.
All right. So this
if we keep talking about food, I'm just going to die.
You're going to come eat. So this is the Pacquiao's Punch, which is... basically a daiquiri, but I use equal parts pineapple and lemon juice, so about a half ounce each, and
secret recipe,
half ounce homemade ginger syrup, and 1.5 ounces of Chairman's Reserve rum.
I love that stuff.
You can do shots of this.
What's love that rum? Symbol? I've never seen that kind of.
Yeah, I like your little jigger. What is that?
I forgot that my stuff. So
is that the cap off of an atomizer?
It is.
There we go. Have you ever shaken a drink sitting down like that?
No, it's
kind of nice.
Wait, now you do that.
Now we're gonna have a bench at Maharlika. Great.
We actually do. Back there.
Oh yeah.
Perfect fits.
Sweet.
Oh, where's the?
It's right there.
Okay, ginger spear garnish. A spritz of absinthe.
Killer. I'm going to try this.
Sir.
I can't wait to actually try this at your bar, but this is great too. If you come to me and make it, like, I'll hire you.
Same glass.
You might get poached.
So
watch out.
So we're going to be serving Pacquiao Punch and Adidas, which we haven't talked about. Really quickly, Adidas.
Gross enough. You
heard what Adidas is?
Mm-mm.
So it's
that was a shoe.
Yeah, it's a street food found in the Philippines. So it's chicken feet, three stripes.
Oh yeah,
three toes.
All right.
So you'll be having a Pacquiao Punch and a serving of Adidas.
Mm. Nice.
Come and try it. Chicken feet are great.
Awesome. Great. I cannot wait to. And so now, what are your hours? And when's this all going down, guys?
We will be opening up for lunch in September. Right now, our hours are from 5 to 2 in the morning.
Kitchen closes at 11, but the bar will stay open.
The bar will stay open. Cool. On the weekends, there'll be a late night menu for pulutan or Filipino snacks. And brunch is, we're still continuing the tradition, starting at 10:30. We're just pushing it back a little farther. For those who can't get up too early, we'll be open till 5 p.m.
That's the East Village location.
Yeah. Oh, and Miguel's working on a Filipino version of chicken and waffles, just saying.
Oh, my God.
Ube waffles.
I just shut down.
It never ends. It never ends.
Wow. You guys have sounds like an amazingly bright future. You're just constantly crushing it. Don't get too burned out. If you need some help, just let me know.
For real. Thanks.
I'll bust tables.
I need a dishwasher.
I can do that too. Well, thanks again for coming on the show today, guys. It was really my pleasure to have you on and talk about everything that you're doing, and good luck with everything. And I can't wait to come by and have some drinks and some food and walk out in an amazing coma.
Maraming salamat.
All right, thanks again to the crew of Maharlika. We'll see you next week on The Speakeasy. Thanks.
Bye. Bye. Man, I wouldn't lie. He gets higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking. Got no shoes upon his feet. Man, he's high.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. The long-awaited documentary The Vanishing of the Bees will be screening in Astoria, Queens at the Broadway branch of the Queens Public Library on Monday, September 19th. I know that seems like a long ways away, but it isn't. It will be broadcast from 6 to 8 p.m. More information about this fascinating look at bee life and colony collapse disorder can be found at their website at www.vanishingbees.com. I also wanted to add that the producers are all working on a 30-minute educational video for high school students, so any parent or teacher should check out the site to see what he or she can do to work with the team to bring this into a school curriculum. The film has a Facebook page as well that discusses current events that affect bees. This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexi-Q, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Computer Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse of City Winery, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.